Hey, it's me, John Beckerman, and you are watching the Letterman Podcast with Mike Chisholm. And coincidentally, I am Mike Chisholm. That's your bit, right? That's your bit.
That's my bit.
I'm doing your bit.
La 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 la.
Welcome once again to the Letterman Podcast. My name is Mike Chisholm, and this is...
Candace Chisholm.
This is Candace Chisholm. Thank you for putting up with my tomfoolery at the beginning of this, looking at Jackie and all that. That's how we start every episode of the Letterman Podcast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Good.
Every time I take a trip out to do some Letterman stuff, right after, you're the guest for the show.
I am. And I started to realize that is that why I don't go on the trips?
Oh. No, it's okay. Don't worry. It's okay. Is that why you don't go on the trips?
Yeah, because you need a co-host.
You tell me. You know what? This this would have been a very different trip if the fates conspired properly for us, but they didn't. They conspired in a different way, and
it would have been a much longer trip.
It would have been a much longer trip. Yes,
because we would have had to take 5 days going down, 7 coming back. Because you don't stop for anything. That's what I've learned.
And in the middle, I would have done exactly what I did, and you would have been at a spa somewhere.
Yeah.
Did you miss me while I was gone?
I did. I missed you. Yeah.
A little bit.
But I did. I missed you. I always miss you when you're gone. But I do have to say it was quiet and it was nice and
yeah. Should I get back?
The house was clean.
Should I go back?
No, we're good.
You're okay.
Stay. Yeah, you can stay.
All right.
I'm used to you again. 48 hours. You're welcome.
I haven't told you very much about this trip yet.
You haven't told me anything about this.
That's not true. I've told you some things, but there are many, many, many parts of the trip I've left out for this very reason.
Yeah.
I'm actually right now doing a deep dive where I'm writing out the entire trip, similar to like the letter manifesto. We haven't written in a while.
No.
The last time we really wrote was in 2021. We wrote our book.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I think you. Yeah, because you wrote a little bit before that, but then not since really.
I haven't done a ton of writing since then. I've had a lot of plates spinning and things going on and all that stuff. So I haven't had the opportunity to write as much. And also, you know, like my mentors have told me, you know, you write when you have something to say. And
you have plenty to say.
Thank you. Wait, that's not a compliment, is it?
Yes.
Oh boy. Okay.
It is.
I had something to say. I was really excited to write about this trip. And I'm writing about it in depth because I think it's important to chronicle some of the major watershed moments.
It's a good idea.
of the Letterman Podcast as things progress. And so, but that being said, I'm really excited to tell you all about the trip and show you some of the presents that I got.
You bought me presents?
I did buy you presents. You got your presents. What was your present?
I got a bunch of presents.
Okay. Yeah. No. Very simple gal to please. When I go to the States and I come home, what did you have a bag of sitting on the...
Trader Joe's.
Bag of Trader Joe's stuff.
Meringues and crackers and spices. Oh my.
How did I do? Out of 10. Yeah. When I was going through Trader, because you didn't know I was going to come home with it.
Yeah, no.
How did I do?
Really good. Those oatmeal cookies.
Yep. The gluten free ones?
Yeah.
There you go.
Bang
so
on.
Bad on the tongue.
No, they're good. They're okay. Good. Yeah, no, you
excellent.
Didn't.
Excellent. So yeah, we're going to talk about the trip here. We're probably going to break it. I assume this is going to be broken into 2 or 3 episodes because I've got a lot of footage from the trip that we're going to be inserting. So I'm going to go through the trip chronologically, and then I'm going to go through my pictures and video, and through the magic of basic video editing, we'll do my best to assemble 1, 2, 3 episodes of this thing.
Wow.
I'm going to do the, I've already written 1800 words and I've only gotten to day one. So it's going to be the written narrative of things is going to be a lot more in depth, but you and I are going to have fun doing this. So, I'm excited. Thank you very much for coming on the Letterman Podcast again, Candace Chisholm.
Michael Chisholm.
You enjoy it?
I do.
Okay, good. I can't wait for the next Letterman centered event that you attend with me.
Yeah.
You were at the last one. You didn't go to this one, but the next one we're going to have you.
It's like I go every other.
It almost is. It almost is like you go to every
other. You did New York and then I did New York. And then now you do LA. Then now I do LA.
Yeah. Well,
maybe that'll be the next.
Yeah, because you did LA the last time. The last time we did LA 2 years ago. That was the last time. So going down to Los Angeles, I don't know if this is the Letterman podcast takes Hollywood. I don't know what we're going to call it. But anyway, the last time that we did this, we were only in our infancy. We only had a few episodes out, maybe three or four of them. And we went down to see Dave at the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival. You were there for that.
I was.
You saw Dave perform with me. And
that trip was more centered around Disneyland.
Well, there was a lot of Disney and things in that trip. This trip was wall-to-wall Letterman. That's a great, great point. The picture up there on the wall, that's where we got that signed. Mm-hmm. Letterman's guy did us a solid, and I got to see Letterman's guy a couple of times during this trip. That was fun. But yeah, this trip was wall-to-wall Letterman. I knew I wanted to drive down there. Because we were going to take a road trip. Originally, it was she and I taking a road trip, like she said, 3 or 4 days to get down there, 3 or 4 days to get back, kind of a thing.
I think you just drove down because you didn't want to leave the truck behind.
For you? Oh, yeah, that's fine. You drive. So Scout, have we talked about, I think we've talked about Scout on the show before.
I don't know.
Scout is, yeah, I know you don't listen to the show. It's funny because it's true. Scout is my Bronco, which I have meticulously tried to convert it into like a 1979 International Scout in many ways, which is what my dad had growing up. She is very, I call her a her. She is, Scout is, she is very noticeable. You like driving Scout a lot.
I do.
Why do you like driving Scout a lot?
She's rad.
She is rad.
She makes me feel cool.
Yeah. You are cool automatically. I need a lot of work, and Scout really does the job in pulling that weight. I wanted to take
She's part of our family.
She is very much a part of our family. I definitely wanted to take her. I've had her for just over a year and wanted to take her on a road trip very badly. And the nice thing about being in California, like I love being in California with a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And it's not cheap to fly down to California and rent a vehicle for an entire week. While you're down there, I think it costs more being international because we are Canadian. I'm not sure. But anyway, it was, I got to tell you, it was so handy having her down there. And then drive, like, Scout feels like she was supposed to be from California.
Aww.
Like, there was a lot of love for Scout. Like, it was like here, except more. And,
really?
And just, yeah, absolutely.
People loved her.
Every day. Aww. Every day, multiple comments for her. So that was fun. And as you know, I love that.
Yeah.
Could tell everybody she was a tribute vehicle to my dad, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah. But anyway, so driving down, I guess we should just start. So day one, I left here in Kelowna, British Columbia around what, 4 a.m?
Yeah, about 4.
I left you and Alara. Alara was, our granddaughter was sleeping over.
Yeah.
She was not happy that I left.
No, she cried.
At 4 a.m.
Yeah, she just, it was really actually, do you want me to tell you?
You can if you want,
I
sure.
I feel bad telling you. I don't want to hurt your heart.
Well, no, you've told me already. You're saying, can I tell the viewing audience?
Oh, well.
You told me. I've gotten over it.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah. Yeah, no, she was just really, it was just really sad because she was just sort of quietly sobbing. And I was like, what is going on? What's the matter? And she's like, I'm just going to miss him so much. It was really cute. And then she was like, is it Sunday yet? And I'm like, well, yeah. And she goes, well, then he's on his way back. I'm like,
next Sunday.
Yeah. She was hoping to time warp, but didn't work out.
Yeah, it was hard leaving you two that morning.
You're her favorite play guy.
I'm her favorite play guy. Yeah, my 6-year-old granddaughter is my world. Jumping in Scout, though, that being said, and leaving at the break of dawn, driving down Highway 97. I'll talk about that for a second. So we in Kelowna have a city that is bisected basically by a provincial highway. Our city was a sleepy little town, but also a paradise town. And over our lives, Candy and I are both born and raised here, which is kind of, it's unusual. You don't meet a lot of people who are born and raised here.
Yeah, well, we're a resort town.
Yeah,
a lot of people come from other places to here because this is probably the nicest place in Canada.
They fall in love with it, and then a lot of them move here. And so our population is like quadrupled in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so this provincial highway that bisects the entire city, it becomes a source of frustration because people are traveling through to go to Vancouver or go to the States or whatever. And they got to go through here. And there's a lake and there's a bridge. There's one highway that goes over it. That highway is called Highway 97. Did you know Highway 97 is one of the longest north to south highways in North America?
I did not know that.
It goes all the way up to the Yukon and becomes the Alaska Highway and all the way down to California. Now, I knew that it goes down to California because my dad, I used to ask my dad, Dad, how long does Highway 97 go? You know, son, it goes way deep into the States, he'd say. And I didn't know how far into the States.
It's like pretty... He doesn't sound like that.
No, he doesn't sound like that.
What is your dad, John Wayne?
All right.
Clint Eastwood. What's going on
That didn't
here?
Sound at all like Clint Eastwood. What? Now I'm going to throw it back. All right. Well, anyway.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, so I have always wanted to take Highway 97 down to see how far it would go. And the faster way to go to California from where I'm from is to go down to Vancouver and take the I-5 down to Seattle, down to Portland. That used to be my concert route growing up. But I just have always wanted to see. I was a nostalgic trip. And so I wanted to go down. And I mapped it out and it added about an hour to the journey. But I'm like, okay, I want to go down and see how far Highway 97 goes.
For reference, the journey is like 23 hours?
21 hours 21 from hours. Here to the hotel I stayed at. The VIP hotel in Hollywood, by the way. Why are you laughing? Okay. Not a hotel Mrs. Chisholm would stay in, but a hotel that I have no problem staying with on a road trip. Candy and I have very different standards when it comes to road tripping. I was willing to sleep in Scout, which she didn't let me, which is pretty, pretty cute. But we'll talk about the trip down there. So I drove, from 4 in the morning straight down 97. I saw the beautiful Cascade Mountains in Washington, as I've seen before. I love it. It's absolutely mm-hmm. gorgeous.
Beautiful.
And then down into Oregon, the Rolling Hills, just an absolute, absolute beautiful country. And it was neat being on 97 rather than the I-5 because it's a completely different experience. You're going through these towns and the I-5 is, it's a concrete highway that just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. 97 is a little bit different and it was really cool. Culminating around 6 o'clock in the evening in a place called Weed, California. And that's where Highway 97 ends. It goes from Weed, California, all the way up to Alaska. And I thought it was charming that it ended in a place called Weed.
Yeah.
You and I were on the phone when it happened.
Yeah. We were talking. The guy in the chair.
You were the guy in the chair. Okay. So, as I was driving down there, one of the things Candace became more and more aware of, because she knew I would do this, is that I was like, she's like, where are you going to stay the first night? I have no idea. I'm just going to go and I'm going to keep going.
Another vast difference between you and I.
Absolutely. And I'm like, when I get tired, I'll find a place and I'll sleep in Scout.
And be murdered.
See, she didn't like that very much. And so around 7 o'clock ish, she gets on the phone with me and is like, hey, maybe you should consider stopping. I was hoping to get like to Northern California, which I guess Weed would be.
Yeah.
But I kept going. I kept going, going, going. I actually made it to Sacramento in one day. And that was pretty good.
Which was what, like 18 hours?
I don't know. Nah, less than that. But anyway, hours. It was a great run. So in Sacramento, Candy kept referring me to hotels she wouldn't sleep in, mind you, $59 a night hotels that there's no way you would sleep in these hotels, but you thought it was a better
option than getting murdered in your car.
Okay. So, I did that.
Murdered in a hotel room is totally different. At least I can find you.
And probably get Scout back.
Yeah, the blood splatter would have been hard to get out.
So I stayed in Sacramento. I went to In-N-Out Burger, or just outside Sacramento. I went to In-N-Out Burger for my first time. You know that I love
Shocker.
I love In-N-Out Burger. And this is where the Letterman stuff begins. And I don't know how long we've been recording already here, but boy, if you've hung in this long to waiting for the Letterman stuff to begin, you're a trooper. Well done. But that's what this is. This is the recounting of the trip. And there's lots of Letterman stuff. Lots and lots and lots of it. But it began in the In-N-Out Burger just outside Sacramento that I had two lovely double-doubles. And as that was happening, it was time for me to start firming up plans to start hanging out with some of these Letterman alum that I had tentatively made plans with, but I didn't know my timetable. But now it was a little bit more strict. And the first one on the list was John Beckerman. Now, John Beckerman, one of my favorite episodes of the Letterman podcast ever, co-creator of the show Ed, And I adore that show. Wish it would be on streaming. And his new show, Meet the Parents, is on Amazon Freevee. I can't wait till we get up here in Canada. I don't know if it's up here now. I checked just before we left. Still not up here in Canada. From everything I've heard from my American brethren who've watched Meet the Parents, it's absolutely hysterical. All 10 episodes are out now. Feel free to watch them. So Beckerman and I start going back and forth in the in and out. Hey, you want to meet tomorrow? Yeah, let's do it. 1 o'clock. Okay. He's like, come down to a place called Culver City. I'm like, all right. And I've heard of Culver City before. But
it's near Universal, right?
Somewhat. It's the home of Sony Pictures Studios and many other studios. And that'll come into play here in a second. Day one, I wake up just outside Sacramento.
That was good. I'm glad you woke up.
Jumped on the road to go down to Culver City. First stop, by the time I get there, it's 11 a.m. First stop is a car wash, because it appeared that Scout murdered many species of bugs on the way down. She was, her front end was not in pretty shape. And I wanted to, get her nice and clean. And so I went to, now car washes are a different thing in LA. Did I send you pictures from the car wash?
No.
Okay. So the car wash was, and I'm talking like it was an operation, like probably 30 or 40, workers, all of them Hispanic, and all of them caring very deeply on how vehicles come out of this, out of these bays. And I mean, they got scout. You would never know that she had just traveled over 1,000 miles. She was so spick and span. They waxed her. The tires were gleaming. I could see myself in the tires. It was absolutely beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then
that does not happen up here.
No, it's very, very different. The car culture up here is very different than the car culture down there. Like it was, and I knew she'd be clean for days. So after that, and so I'm going to be putting pictures in over top of this.
Okay.
Of things. And I've got pictures of the car wash and I'll put those in. So if you're listening on the audio, you might want to jump onto the Spotify video or the YouTube. Yeah. And check out the video version of this, because there's lots of video in this episode of the Letterman podcast. So I was really excited to go and meet with John Beckerman, because he is one of the if you could combine quirky and cool into one word, and I'm not talking like Zoe Deschanel, like I'm going way higher than that. You've got John Beckerman. He is so smart. Harvard alum, the Lampoon, writer, head writer for Letterman, and then of course worked on so many other amazing projects. I just really, really love John, and we met at a coffee shop called Go Get 'Em Tiger, just right near the Sony lot. It was like a block away from the Sony lot. And he's like, hey, let's just walk around. And I'm like, okay, that sounds good. And so we start walking and talking and just kind of catching up a little bit. And it's fun. Like, you've experienced this a little bit, where you've been around when I first meet some of these alum who have been on the show, mm-hmm. and I meet them face to face for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a neat experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I always, I think the first time I saw that happen was in New York when we were at Rupert's retirement. And I thought it was just really sweet.
No, it was before that. So the first time was when we went to Stephen Laurie's for the first time, I think.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Sorry, I was just thinking of some of the ones that you had met for the first time.
And Walter, you were there when I met Walter for the first time.
Well, that's true, too.
Like that trip, right?
I have a memory of an aunt. So, anyways, I always thought it was really cute. Because you're not cute, maybe.
Oh, whatever.
Interesting. Cute. Because it's just, you can see the mutual admiration that you guys all have, or that you have for them, and then how they've sort of developed this kind of love for you.
I know the admiration definitely goes from my side. Some of them are flat out scared. Were you there when I met Barbara Gaines for the first time?
Oh yeah. I was there.
So, okay. So yeah, like,
Well, I saw the back of her. She was running away.
I swooned, as she put it, which is pretty darn accurate. No, so seeing John, it was cool, because there's this moment of, okay, I recognize you from across the camera, but now I'm seeing your actual dimensions in real time. And it's like, cool. Okay, great. And immediately though, we start talking and it was fun. And most of these conversations, by the way, I'm going to leave like between us, for the majority of them, but just talking about hanging out with him and possibilities and all sorts of neat things. I'm so proud of him. For Meet the Parents, it is really hard to get a project made in entertainment these days. It's it was already a tremendously difficult endeavor. And making it happen now in today's environment is even more so. And you'd think it'd be easier with all of the different services and things available, but it's actually not.
Why?
I don't know. It's like things have changed. Like, for example, here's an example how things have changed. Many times there used to be like a pilot season. And I'm it's probably still there, but not nearly what it once was. So a show like John's, which is based on a British show, Meet the Parents, is it was built and greenlit without a pilot. They actually, it was based on a pitch, and
good for him.
Absolutely. I'm so happy for him, because you know, you can make a living in development for these places and never get anything made.
Yeah.
You just keep continually getting projects to a certain point, getting paid while doing so, which is good, I guess, because you're feeding your family, but
it's nice to see something come to fruition.
Yeah. If you're a creative, you want to create something.
Yeah.
And John is, you know, one of the foremost creators out there. He's fantastic. And so it's really, really gratifying to see this thing happen. So please watch Meet the Parents, everybody.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say this. Okay. So Dinner with the Parents just came out.
Yes.
And we're what? Episode... 3 is about to drop? No, 4 is about to drop.
There are now 8 episodes out, and as of this coming Thursday, there will be all 10.
There we go.
Season 1.
That's exciting.
Yes. Watch it. God damn it.
Based on a British show.
Yes, based on the British show Friday Night Dinner,
yes.
But with all new characters and all new stories. And very proud of it. A lot of fun to make. Michaela Watkins is in the show. Dan Bacadal, Carol Kane, Henry Hall, John Glazer, Daniel Thrasher, and they're all fantastic. And if you need something to make you laugh and take your mind off this horrible planet we live on, watch Dinner with the Parents, please.
Like The Office, a little bit of a slow burn, and then suddenly it ignites. That's what we're hoping for here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
He gave me some great advice. We shot a couple little videos. We shot a video for Rupert and Irene. Because Rupert and Irene love him. Okay, so you know Rupert's original shtick, right? Where Letterman would send him out.
Yeah.
And okay, that was originally going to be John Beckerman.
Oh.
It was called Fun with Phil. And then they put Rupert in at the last minute, and it became Rupert's thing or whatever. But John Beckerman's the guy who spearheaded that. Yeah, cool, hey?
Yeah.
There you go. Fun fact.
Trivia.
And more proof that my wife does not watch the show. Anyway.
I listen.
Uh-huh. I gave him a copy of our book.
Oh.
So there you go. No, it was a really, really good time. I appreciate John like crazy. Quirky and cool to the highest level. I say that with the most high regards that I can muster.
So you spent Monday morning with him. I'm going to keep you on track here.
1 o'clock. Thank you. 1 o'clock is when we met.
Oh, okay. Monday afternoon.
Spent a couple hours, and then I was like, okay, I guess time to go to check into the hotel. So I go check into the hotel, and it's like 5 o'clock. And as you and I discussed, there was a chance that I wasn't going to be getting into LA till like 8 at night in the original plan, right? So I'm like, this is bonus time.
Well, yeah, because it gave you time to scrub the chalk outline off the carpet.
So, okay.
Come on, you gotta like admit.
What?
Like, you stay in some sketchy places. Like, I'm actually not even joking when I say that. Like, I mean, was it a 1-star?
It was fine. It was fine. The Hollywood VIP Hotel. Check it out. If
welcome you to Hollywood. Everybody's got a dream.
What's your dream?
What's your dream?
Stay alive. The Hollywood VIP Hotel, I would recommend it if you're on a budget and you want to stay in the heart of Hollywood. It literally backs onto the Dolby Theater. And Dave was performing at the Ricardo Montalban Theater. How cool is that? And by the way, yes, there was a point where someone said rich Corinthian leather. It's on night 3 of Letterman, but yes, Ricardo Montalban, Fantasy Island, and many, many, many other things, has a theater.
That's cool.
It is super cool. I should have bought a shirt. I didn't end up. The third night that I was there, when I was planning on buying a shirt, a little bit flustered with Dawn at Cary. We'll get to that.
So that's the theater he was at for the all
three nights.
Okay.
Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And he was hosting a show called The Gods of Comedy. Yeah. It's come out now who the three guests have been. Night one was Nate Bergazzi. Night two was Sarah Silverman. And night three was Tim Robinson. I was there for nights one and three. But that wasn't the original plan. The original plan, we didn't know when we were getting there. So I get there and I get checked in. It's like, okay, well, now what? And I decide to go, well, I guess I might as well go down Hollywood Boulevard. Oh, you know what? I'm going to track to see how far a walk it is from here to the Montauban Theater. And it's like 5 o'clock.
How far of a walk was it?
It was about a 15 minute walk.
That's not bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all. Oh, it was fine. And walking by all sorts of crazy things on Hollywood Boulevard. And I was taking pictures of stars. It's fine. It was fine. Taking pictures of stars that are Letterman related, and I'll throw them into the episode here, or just showbiz related that, you know, tangentially perhaps. And I decide to just on a lark message one of Dave's producers that tolerates me. And I message this person and I say, hey, I'm in town earlier than I thought I was going to be. I'm going to go walk by the theater to the box office, see if there's any single tickets available. And if there are, you know, giddy up, I'm in. They message me back and they say, okay, I'll check for you or something like that. And I was like, all right, that's cool. I get stoked anytime, you know, these people message me back or whatever, because it's nice to be tolerated. And so I went down there and you know, moseyed on there because I had no agenda. I had no real expectation of anything. So I get there and the security person, they're just setting up because the show starts at 7:30. And so they're just sort of setting things up and whatnot. And the security person says, hey, you got tickets? You're a little early. I'm like, actually, I don't. But so-and-so, I talked to so-and-so and they said that, you know, there might be something here for me.
Can I just interrupt to ask a question? So were people not lining up already? Because when we went 2 years ago, you made me go down at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for an 8 o'clock show. And there was many people.
We weren't there that early.
All right.
We were there probably 90 minutes early. And there were a lot of people already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not this time.
No.
This time they started lining up about an hour early.
Okay.
About an hour. That's when the lineup started.
How was the theater compared to the one we were at? Because we were in the Fonda Theater.
The Fonda Theater was where we saw him 2 years ago. And that was fine. I would say the experience is very similar. I liked this one a little better.
Did you?
Yeah, a little better. But both were fine.
Sorry, I didn't.
No. This is good. This is good. So anyway, the person said to me, okay, well, who, what? And I said, well, I named the person and they said, okay. And they brought their supervisor over. And as they brought their supervisor over, Letterman's producer comes up. He's walking down the street. I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? And shake hands and all that stuff. And he's like, good. And, they said to the security person, this guy's okay. He's a super fan.
The super fan.
And then, well, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I stepped on you.
See, I did tell her a little bit about the trip.
See, I did listen.
And then he said, actually, maybe the super fan. In which case I was thinking, eat your heart out, Don Giller. But no, I didn't. No, I didn't think that. Of course not. I bow to the supremacy of Don Giller always, and you know this.
Supreme
but
ruler.
when this person said that, I was like, ha, ha, that's funny. But no, my goal actually wasn't just that. It's like, okay, over the next couple of years, I'm going to confound that because I'm more than a super fan. It's different. As far as I'm concerned, I'm contributing to the legacy of Letterman. And there's other things other than fandom. There's a little bit different. There's a couple different dimensions to it. But for the good shorthand of telling the head of security or the head of whatever, who I was, okay, fine. But within about 15 minutes, I get a message. You're covered. Talk to them at roll call. And sure enough.
So for in this instance, being a super fan was just fine.
Just fine. Just fine. So thank you very much for that. And I got a chance to see Letterman twice instead of just once. And that was really, really sweet of him to do that. And it was very cool. And so I sent a message to Walter, I'm like, hey, so-and-so just comped me a ticket to the show. And I got a really awesome message back from him. And it was, wait, where are you? I'm like, over here or whatever. And suddenly from outside, from behind the stage, out the curtain, there's Walter, big wave.
Aww.
Yeah, I was very happy about that. If I could change anything about the trip, it would have been that I would have been able to take him out for lunch or something like that and hang out with Walter for a little while. I just love being in the same space as him. He's got such a great energy.
He's a good person.
I love Walter. And so, but anyway, so yeah, so Monday night, I see Letterman interview Nate Bargatze. It was an awesome example of what Dave is just a master at. They had the narrative to the audience is that the two of them had never met before. They had never met. And Nate, of course, you know, he's selling out arenas and things like that for his stand-up comedy, notoriously clean comic, and you know, just a wholesome, you know, he wants families to be able to come and see his show.
Would he have been somebody that you, because I mean, I know you didn't know who it was ahead of time, but would he have been somebody that you would have guessed?
I had a list and none of the people on my list were the people that were. And it's interesting because
I thought Matt Rife was going to be there.
Rife performed on the same night that Letterman performed on the third night with Tim Robinson. He performed at the Hollywood Bowl. And when I went to In-N-Out Burger after Letterman's third performance, spoiler, the Matt Rife crowd was coming into that same In-N-Out Burger. Okay. Yeah. And so I talked to a bunch of people who just came from the Rife show.
Put a pin in that. I want to know more.
No, sure. Absolutely. So
maybe I'll start a Matt Rife podcast.
Will you?
No.
Well, you're his demo. Anyway, what? So
he does like older women.
That's, well, thanks for explaining the joke. Yes, that's
I mansplained that.
You sure did. Nice job. It's that men's mental wellness app that you're building.
It's
right?
Really that's working for me.
It is. I talked about that a lot to people while I was down there. So anyway, interviewing Nate was a masterclass in simultaneously, getting to know him. And you had that first kind of 5 minutes of maybe a little bit of awkwardness or feeling each other out, but then it just turned into this unbelievable narrative. And of course, Dave, like he always does, has done, you know, meticulous research. He had clips of Nate performing and it was interesting though, very little monologue other than Dave just kind of talking to the audience and messing around with the audience. He announced himself out. There was no announcer.
Oh, that was
I know. Oh.
Cause that's your dream job.
I would love to bring David Letterman on stage one day. I would love to bring David Letterman. Yeah. If I was given the opportunity to come out and mess with around with the audience a little bit and then bring Dave on stage, that would be a kick.
Hey, Netflix, if you're watching.
Well, I don't know. I think that's probably Dave. And
hey, Dave.
Dave's not watching.
Never mind.
But anyway, no. So, but it was funny. Like all three nights, he introduced himself, and it was really good. The first night was minimal, from a production perspective. The third night, a lot of production. You can tell Walter had done a lot of cool stuff while he was down there. We'll get to that in a minute.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a minute. It was neat. It was neat to see the contrast the two shows. Very neat actually, because they were very different in tone.
Wow.
They were very, very different in tone.
I don't know is right here. And he's an enormous man, very nice. He comes up to me and listen to this. This is where it gets intriguing. This is where my ears really perk up. The guy says, Dave. I said, oh, yeah. He says, I'm Larry Johnson. I said, oh, hi. Hi, Larry. He says to me, do you think that Steve Martin changed the way the world looks at things? What are you going to say to that? No, I think he's a phony. I think he's counterfeit. He's a complete jerk. No, of course you're going to say, do I think Steve Martin changed the way the world looks at things? Of course. I was just in the middle of this fun fest. I want to be a part of it. So I say, yeah, I do think Steve Martin changed the way people. And he said, I'm glad to hear you say that. So now, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, oh, maybe he's going to say, Dave, I think you also. That's right. This is what I got in mind. This is why I drove into the city. And he says, I'm glad to hear you say that, Dave, because I'm currently working on a project about somebody who also changed the way we look at things. Well, now I'm thinking, feature film? Something having to do with me? And I said, I played dumb. I said, oh, yeah, Larry, who are you thinking about? And he says, it's the man who discovered the X-ray. All right. I wouldn't lie to you.
But yeah, watching him with Nate was really fun. You know, Nate has a thing where his dad comes on tour with him, and Nate loves his father very, very, very much, and that touched me as you know, I'm going through some stuff with dad, so that touched me. It was really touching. There was a moment or two where I actually sort of teared up a little bit. And then Dave, expertly, of course, as the emotion starts to get a little, starts to crest, he pulls it right back and makes it funny and does all these things. Very, very, very good David Letterman experience and performance. And I don't know how many times I'm going to get a chance to see him live again. And I'm really grateful for both of these times. That night was really good. Now, as the evening was ending, after he left the stage and whatnot, I got approached by these three guys who recognized me. And
how does that feel?
What's that?
Being recognized, like for something other than your mugshot.
Oh, it doesn't happen very often. It's a one-off. It's good. It's
neat.
But
how does it feel? You don't have to be self-deprecating. How does it feel?
I like when folks who like Letterman like this show.
Yeah.
I like that very, very much. Now, these guys here were wearing pants jackets.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And so it was neat. Like, I'm like, oh, hey, how'd you get those pants jackets? And they had been part of, in 2015 or 2014, they had been part of some sort of fundraiser where they donated some money to something. And I forget what the cause is. I wrote it down. I've got the guy's contact info. He wants to come on the show. I'd like to have him on the show and talk about it because he was really touched by the whole thing. And he's in the theater business, the movie theater business. And I forget how many screens he has, but between he and his buddy, I think they have like 500 screens and exhibitors. Yeah. And I mean, you know, it was fascinating to kind of talk
from
to him.
From California.
And it was neat talking to them about the movie business and whatnot, but they were really, really excited to talk about Dave. They actually wanted to meet Mary, because they wanted to thank her for the experience that they got when they got the jackets and they got a couple of pictures that they had printed out.
Did they get to meet her?
Not there, but what we're going to do is I'm going to have him, I would like to have him on the show, and then they can say the message that they want to say, and then we'll make sure it
gets there.
Nice. And go from there. They were really, really touched. They were really happy. And then another bonus happened. So it was good talking to those guys. And as that's happening.
And where was that?
That was in the theater still. We hadn't even made it out of the theater yet.
Okay.
And as that was happening, I got a message from Adam Nediff. Adam Nediff is the game show historian who's been on the show, and he's part of the Letterman fan community and has done. He's the guy that took Letterman's final montage and broke it down, and was featured in Rolling Stone about it or whatever. And so I get a message from him going, "You're here." He didn't know that I was there that night. Nobody did, because I didn't know I was going to be there that night. And it turns out Adam had just been at the show. And when he found out I was there, he came back. I was like, oh, my God. And so Adam and I hugged and hung out, and we went out for pizza.
Okay, wait. How did he know you were there?
Because I put a Facebook post up.
Oh.
I put a Facebook post up of Letterman and Nate's chair before they came out.
Oh, fun.
And the post caption was "nice legs." And I was really excited to see Letterman's chairs there, right? The chairs for it. And so I put "nice legs" because I thought that was kind of cute and clever. Clearly it wasn't.
I don't think we're friends on Facebook.
You and I?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, that joke is a little bit of a high wire act. What do you mean?
I was gonna say I don't see that post.
Oh, okay.
That's what you were asking me, if I saw that post.
Oh, I was just saying that's what I, Nate. No, Adams. You asked me how Adams saw me.
No, I thought you were like saying, well, didn't you see the post to me?
No.
Oh.
No, it was a joke with a picture of two chairs and the caption is "nice leg."
Gotcha.
No, I don't know.
Now you gotta check your Facebook.
That's okay. That's how he found out I was there. And so Adam and I went out for pizza and talked for, I don't know, an hour or two. Which was amazing. And it was so cool seeing him there in the flesh. And again, it's another one of those chance meetings where it's like, oh my God, you know,
now, is he from California?
Adam is from California. Yeah, he's in the game show business. So Adam, again, for if ever you want to know about the history of game shows, Adam's written a bunch of books. The Gong Show book is his most recent one. And there's a really cool, you know what? We'll leave that for Adam to talk about.
Is he coming on again?
There's some cool, maybe, but there's some cool, his Gong Show book is incredible and I highly recommend it. But he came on the show here and talked about Letterman's history with game shows, including the game show Robert Wharton, also was developing all of that sort of stuff. And he is actually a guy who I kind of look towards and go, okay, he has taken his passion and kind of turned it into a career. The Museum of Game Shows has him on retainer doing things. He's also working actively in the game show business. You know how sometimes during a game show, somebody answers a question and the host goes, judges? He's one of the judges. He's one of the guys that helps with that stuff. Plus, he's a game show historian and a writer and all these things. So he's working in the business. And so, yeah, he's in California doing that. And he and I, yeah, just Adam and I could get together and we can talk for hours about everything. And so that was really cool. And it was a great surprise. So the Monday, which could have been a throwaway day, ended up with Beckerman, Letterman, and Adam Neidhoff. And it was just... It was a really cool experience. So that was Monday.
Very cool.
Sounds good for a first day, right?
Very good first day. All right. You've been up like pretty much 48 hours probably by then.
Because I did sleep the night before. At that Comfort Inn. Yeah, I mean.
Because you left really early in the morning.
I did leave in the early in the morning to get there, though. So
You're worried about getting to LA in time.
I wanted to make sure that I was more than in time for John. Yeah. That was a great first day. And considering it was potentially a throwaway day, there was so much that happened. Now, I don't know if we're breaking this episode up into multiple episodes or not, but we're going to go to day two right now and take it from there. So any questions so far about day one?
No, sounds okay. Like a good day.
Okay, I don't think I missed anything off of that. Day two.
Overcoat and underpants.